Invite you tonight over to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 14 and verse 12 is where we will begin. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 14 and verse 12 reads this way. It says, "And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared, there make ready for us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne asking for your blessing tonight and the empowering, Lord, of your Holy Spirit, the guidance of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you and that you would be honored and glorified, and we'll give you all the praise and the thanks, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. And so tonight, as we make preparation to prepare to observe the Lord's Supper, the title of the message is Furnished and Prepared. Furnished and Prepared. And we found that right there in verse 15. And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. So I want to just spend a few moments here and consider the preparation. Look at the last Passover and then the institution of the Lord's Supper that Jesus, by the way, instituted. And so we thank the Lord for that. And then also the church existed before Pentecost, or we would not have the church ordinance of the Lord's Supper. It stands to reason, does it not? But I think we'll see some scripture on that. And so God wants us to understand these important truths as we enter into this time. So God has prepared. Isn't it amazing how the Lord sets all these things up? Do you remember he sent Peter to go fishing just with a hook, and he was going to catch a fish, and in the mouth of the fish, there is going to be a gold coin in there that they might pay their taxes. And so God has prepared everything that is necessary for us to walk with him, for us to glorify him by his power and strength. Everything has been prepared. That is such an important truth. It is only when we begin to lean to our own understanding that we will mess things up and get things mixed up. So mixed up and messed up is not where God wants us. That's where he's saved us, to bring us into his order and his wisdom and understanding. So all these things have been prepared by the Lord. He said, hey, listen, there's going to be this man. I want you to go into the city, and specifically, I want you to know what you're looking for, a man carrying a pitcher of water. Then you're going to go to him. Is that amazing or what? How he set all that up, and so they find this man, and then you're supposed to ask him, now, where are we supposed to go? And he's going to tell you to follow him. And here's the crazy thing, ready? When the disciples went into the city to look for this man, guess what? They found him, didn't they? And then when they said exactly what the Lord said, he said, come and I'll show you. And then the Bible says, and he will show you, in verse 15, he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. Now, if you go to Israel, they believe they found this room. And yeah, Sister Laura's been there, yeah. And you know what? Listen, when you see it, you would say, it looks like it. It sure does look like it. And when you go to the cross, Golgotha, and I mentioned this in the past, and you sit, there's like a little canopy. I don't know if it's changed now. This is 2007. But there was a canopy that covered, and there was a seating area. And you can look and see the cross. And you could look this up online and find it. And because not very far from there was Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And you could see it. And you know what? Listen, there is no doubt in my mind that is the very place where the Lord was crucified. No doubt. And so God's word is true, it's eternal, and it's without flaw, and we thank the Lord for that. And so is his word, amen? We can trust in his word, and God made preparation for all of these things. Now I want you to look at the last Passover, and look at verse 17, and notice what the Bible says here in verse 17. "And the evening he cometh with the 12, And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And they answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. Isn't that amazing? And listen, as the disciples look back on what was written after this had occurred and after the resurrection of the Lord, one thing they could say for sure, God's word said it exactly as it happened. And so we thank the Lord for the more sure word of prophecy that we hold in our hand. And then I want to look at the institution of the Lord's Supper. And by the way, Jesus is the one who instituted the Lord's Supper. And here's what he said in verse 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. We are looking forward to the fulfillment of this when we see the Lord face to face. And so the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. And here's what I want you to see that's important tonight. And that is verse 26. It says, And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And of course, he was going to the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's why we do this very reverently and with all due respect. And we commemorate and we remember what the Lord did for you and I. Go over to the book of Hebrews for a moment with me and look at chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2. And this will solidify that this was taking place in the church, not in the future church. If your Bible has a footnote about the future church, no, this is the church already in existence. There are a lot of Bibles that say that, but this the church was started on during the Lord's earthly ministry, and he's the one that started it. So verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 2 says this, But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And that's us. And then he said this, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the what? Church. Will I sing praise unto thee. And the account that we read right there was when they went out and sung praise to the Lord, verse 13, and again, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. And so when we consider this, he's saying, look, these are the ones that God has given me. Verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Remember what he said? Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So he destroyed the devil and his power over sin in our lives. And we are talking about the crucifixion that the Lord did for you and I. Verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, or truly, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And so that's what we're commemorating here tonight, the wonderful gift that God has given to each and every one of us through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray, and then we will go ahead and begin to observe the Lord's Supper tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity and privilege that we have to observe the Lord's Supper and to remember what you did for us and what you've given to us by your sacrifice. May you be honored and glorified. Lord, may you lead and guide in the rest of this portion of the service, and may you draw our hearts closer to you and to one another. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.